Well, good morning, everyone. It's nice to see you all again. I know I'm home from my travels when I stand up here and look down upon you. We thought about you often when we were over there in Tavistock, and thought about the morning assembly meetings and prayed for you. Now, please turn to the book of Ruth, and it's chapter 2. We have been looking at Boaz. We consider him to be a very clear picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was, of course, one of the forebearers of the Savior. That is, he was part of the family line from which the Lord Jesus came, right back many, many, many generations. We know that he was the great-grandfather of David. And, of course, the Lord Jesus is called the Son of David. That's one of his titles. I always find it wonderfully strange that the Lord of Glory, the Lord of Glory, should be pleased to take as one of his titles the Son of a man born in this world, the Son of David. It's part of the marvelous humility of our Savior. He humbled himself, became as a man. Well, we have considered a number of features in Boaz's character and his behavior that remind us of the Lord. And today I'm going to look with you at the fact that when he came to his fields and he saw Ruth working there, he spotted her immediately and he made inquiries as to who she was. And he then approaches her and gives her some instructions. Let's read from verse 8 of chapter 2, just to catch up. As it were, then said Boaz unto Ruth, Hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here, fast by my maidens. Boys and girls, let me tell you, that's what the Lord Jesus would say to us. He would say, stay close to me. Stay close to my people. Don't go off into the world. You'll find no help there. You'll find no help there. The world has a wonderful way of putting on an attractive face so that when you look at it from a distance, oh boy, that looks good, but it's a deception. It's a deception that Ruth's mother-in-law and her father-in-law fell for. You remember how it was that Elimelech and Naomi, in a time of hardship in their own land in Judah, looked to Moab and they said, that looks better. And off they went, and of course, it was anything but better. And poor Naomi, when she came back, she lamented how that her visit to Moab had robbed her of everything. Likewise, prodigal son, he looked to the far country, and I said, boy, that certainly looks much better than here at home. And off he went. But he too learned that it was all a deception. All eternity, amongst those who are lost in hell, there will be one common lament, and it will be about the deceitfulness of sin. We shouldn't have believed it. We shouldn't have taken it in. We shouldn't have listened. That will be a common lament in hell amongst those who are lost. Whereas in heaven, what will the song be there? The song there will be, I'm so glad that God enabled me to believe the words of Jesus. Because every one of them has proved to be true. True, absolutely. So here's Boaz saying to Ruth, don't leave my fields or my servants. You stay among them. Oh, that God would write these words on your heart. Verse 9, let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Don't let your eyes wander. Oh, that's how it all begins. Do you remember Eve? Do you remember Eve's journey to sin and destruction and misery and woe? Do you remember how it began? She saw that the fruit that was forbidden seemed to be good. Started with her eyes. And here is counsel that is wonderful. Let thine eye be on the field that they do reap, where my people are. Let your eyes stay on it. Have I not charged the young man that they shall not touch thee, and when thou art athirst, go unto the vessels and drink of that which the young man have drawn? Then she fell on her face, and bowed herself to the ground, and said unto him, Why have I found grace in thine eyes, that thou shouldst take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? Good to ever remember who we are and what we are. Good to ever remember that. Never, never, never get too big for your boots. Never begin to think that you are somebody or something. But like Ruth, be ever conscious that though I am enjoying much blessing and privilege and goodness and kindness from the Lord, I don't understand it, for I'm a nobody and a nothing. I think it was the wee Cornish man, Billy Bray, who became very well known in his immediate area. Indeed, he has become well known throughout the world because of the record of how he served the Lord. But he was a very simple man, a very simple man. And he used to say, when he was questioned as to his ability and his success, he used to say, wait. I'm an old sinner and nothing at all, but Jesus is my all in all. So he lived with that thought, and he never got a big head, and we should ever, like Ruth, keep in mind what we are and the kindness that God has shown toward us. Verse 11, And Boaz answered and said unto her, It hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. We can say about Ruth that she was a believer. Ruth was saved. And there's a wonderful image here of her nestling in under the wings of God. That's what it is to be saved. That's what it is to be saved. There's wonderful pictures throughout the scriptures of just what it is to be saved. Like running into a cave to escape a storm. Like running into a city to gain the security and the safety of the city. Like nestling in the arms of the Lord, or as here, nestling under the feathers of his wings. That's where Ruth was. Where are you today? Where are you today? Spiritually speaking, where are you today? Are you safe in the arms of Jesus? Or are you yet like the lost sheep out there in the world, and you don't know him? You don't know him. Oh, that you would learn from Ruth regarding this matter. Now, the aspect of Boaz that we want to highlight today is the knowledge that he has here of Ruth. He is an informed redeemer. You know the story. We'll be looking more, of course, later on at how he became the redeemer of both Naomi and Ruth because of his relationship with them. He was able to help them in their poverty. And of course, that's a picture of the Lord Jesus. But I want us particularly today to notice how well informed he was. How well informed he was. He was told, of course, by his servants who this girl was. He didn't know who she was when he came into the field. Who is this damsel? But they told him. And then he was able to say in the verse 11, It hath fully been showed me who you are, what you've done. And that reminds us, boys and girls, of the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ knows all about us. He knows all about his people. Now, he hadn't to be instructed like Boaz The angel didn't come along, as it were, to the Savior and explain to him who you are, because he knew long before the angels were created. And I want us to think a little this morning, whether we get it all done or not, but I want us to think a little this morning about the wonderful knowledge that the Savior has concerning his people. Now, I want you particularly to notice that here in this narrative, here in this record, it's clear that Boaz knew who Ruth was, but Ruth did not know who Boaz was. She didn't know of the relationship that there was between Boaz and the family of Naomi. She didn't know that. In fact, if you look further down the chapter, verse 19, the man's name with whom I wrought today is Boaz. So she had picked that bit of information up, and she's reporting now to her mother-in-law. But she didn't know who Boaz was. And if you read on the verses that follow that, verse 20 onwards, you'll see how Naomi says, "Oh, wait a minute, that man's related to us." And thus Ruth begins to learn something about Boaz. But the point is, when Boaz talked to her in the field, she didn't know who he was. And let me tell you, that brings home to us a great truth. That long before you knew anything about the Lord Jesus, he knew all about you. He knew all about you. He knew about you from all eternity. Do you remember on the road to Damascus, where Saul of Tarsus, the persecutor of the church in the early days of the apostles, the hater of the gospel, the opponent of Christ, met the Savior. And he was caused by the glory of the Lord that was revealed from heaven. He was caused to fall down. So great was that glory. And he uttered those famous words, "Who art thou, Lord? Who art thou, Lord?" He didn't know him. He didn't know him. And for years, each one of you here that is saved, you didn't know him. No idea at all about him. And yet he knew you. He didn't just know you from when you were born, which is the longest time that any one of us may know each other. Some of you, older ones, remember younger members of the family arriving in the family, and there you look down at this wee wriggly, wrinkly-faced baby that Mammy and Daddy were so happy about, and that was the first you saw of them. But God knew them from all eternity. God knew them from all eternity. And it's a wonderful thing for us to contemplate today, how the Lord has known us. It's a sobering, solemnizing thought. It's a humbling thought. God knows all about us. And God, his knowledge is reflected here in the story of Boaz. Before Ruth knew who he was, he knew who Ruth was. The Lord Jesus Christ, and we'll come back on Thursday and we'll finish the study, but let me give you some words by the Lord Jesus Christ to consider. In the Gospel of John, there are many verses that highlight the truth that I'm seeking to set before you. And here's one. It's in John chapter 10. And it's the verse 3. And he speaks of himself and he says, "To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out." He calleth his own sheep by name. Isn't it a marvelous thing that the Savior knew you, knew your name? And that's why when that day dawned, that in the will of God, he was going to reveal himself to you and save you, he was able to utter your name. He didn't have to look up any record or any register to find your name. He knew it. In fact, one day I think we'll understand that he not only knew your name, but he ordained that you have that name. Oh, I know mother or father chose your name, but in the providence of God, you have the name that God ordained from all eternity. Therefore, he knew your name. And on the day appointed, he was able to speak that name. and called you to himself. Calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. Oh, that something of the wonderful knowledge that God has of us, each one, might come home with power to our hearts today. We'll leave our study there, we'll return, and just look at some more verses that highlight this wonderful truth on Thursday in the will of the Lord. Let's just bow together, please, in prayer. O God, our Heavenly Father, I pray that each boy and girl here today might have a wonderful consciousness of the knowledge that God has of them. May we be very much aware that God's eye is upon us. Lord, what a sanctifying realization this will be. It will keep us from sin. It will deliver us from evil. It will enable us to walk in obedience. Speak to us then today and bless the school. You know its needs. God, supply each one and bless each one here today. And remember the little ones that are at home sick. We commit them to thee in the Savior's name. Amen and amen.